This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. On the program today, violinist Joshua Bell will be with us in the later portion of the show to talk about his latest CD and also his recital at the Krannert Center in Urbana, which is this Thursday evening, Tax Day, the 15th. And in the first portion of the show, we have playing for us live in our studio, Priscilla Tse and Yukun Ren of the Robert E. Brown Center for World Music at the University of Illinois. They're participating in the World Music Center's spring concert this week, and we'll have a show devoted to that tomorrow as well. So some good exposure to some different kinds of music, different kinds of instruments, and I hope you'll look forward to that. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. With apologies for the delay, that was my fault for not pushing the right buttons in the studio. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we just heard music by George Gershwin, I Love You Porgy, from Porgy and Bess, with violinist Joshua Bell and trumpet player Chris Bode. This is from Joshua Bell's latest CD called At Home with Friends, in which each of the 16 cuts is with a different well-known person or group. Generally not within the realm of classical music, with, I think, one exception. We'll be hearing more from that a little later, because Joshua Bell will be on the show with me in the later half of the program from New York by telephone. He's performing at the Krannert Center in Urbana Thursday evening. On Friday evening is going to be the spring concert from the Robert E. Brown Center for World Music at the University of Illinois. We had Jason Finkelman and Philip Yampolsky on the show last week talking about a couple of the events happening this past weekend. They've got quite a number of things happening, and they'll be here again tomorrow, or at least Jason will, with some other performers to give more of a sampling of this spring concert, which is on Friday. It's going to be at the Krannert Center from 4 o'clock till 8:45, a big, long program. And among the performers will be Priscilla Tse, who is director of the Chinese Silk and Bamboo Ensemble at the University of Illinois, and also a member of that ensemble, Yukun Ren, who he says we can call him Kenny. And so we will do that. And first of all, I want to thank you both for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you, and I'm really looking forward to hearing these instruments. Priscilla, why don't you introduce them to us?
In this studio here, we have an erhu, Chinese fiddle, played by Kenny. It's a two-string fiddle with a bow locked in between two strings. I think the construction is kind of simple. To make this instrument.
Yeah, in fact, where I'm sitting, I only see one string. I'm looking at, where's that other one?
Very thin, so you may.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
it's very difficult to play. As you can see, there's no fingerboard, so you need to memorize those positions very well.
You just kind of slide your finger up and down the string?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's pretty much.
And it's very difficult to start as a beginner, because it's very difficult. It's too easy to make any kind of noise if you do the bowing. So it takes like a couple weeks or a month.
Yeah, a month maybe.
Do the open strings. Yes. Back and forth. Yeah.
So what did it sound like when you first started to play this? Can you imitate what you used to sound like?
Oh, okay, sure.
How bad was it?
Yeah, it would make some sort of this kind of noise.
not unlike somebody taking up a four-string Western violin, and they started scratching around, and everyone wants to run from the room. But now, we'll hear in a little bit just what you sound like now. And what have you got with you, Priscilla?
This is the Chinese dulcimer. In Chinese, it's called Yangqin. It's a big contrast with his instruments, because you can see there are over 100 strings here. And we played with these bamboo beaters strike on the strings.
So it's a form of hammered dulcimer.
Hammered dulcimer. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the member in the hammered dulcimer family.
Last Friday, we just had somebody playing the mountain dulcimer, just three strings she had on it. And on the same program we had, it was in the same program, where we had a Turkish instrument called the kundun.
Kundun.
I kept forgetting what it was called then, which had 70-some strings, and that was plucked.
Yes.
So we've had all different kinds here, and so you're the first one of the hammered that we have on the show.
Yeah, and you may find its siblings almost all over the world. You can find it in Central Asia, Southeast Asia, Middle East, and also Russia.
Is it possible to say where the instrument originated, or not really?
Well, from the from all I read, is from, I think the origin is from Persia, but I'm not sure how it spread to China.
That seems to be true for at least some other instruments. The oud seems to have been the originator of a number of other instruments, from the lute to the koto that is the Japanese lute?
Yeah, the Japanese zither.
Sort of zither?
Zither, yeah.
Yeah, I'm forgetting which is the equivalent over there, but yeah, that seems to be the birthplace of a number of things. Well, why don't we, before we talk any further, why don't we hear some of the music you brought along?
Sure.
Sure.
Well, the first piece we're going to play is called 娱乐生平, in Chinese, and the English translation is kind of like happiness and serenity. So it's a Cantonese piece from southern China, Cantonese-speaking regions. It's a fun piece, and you may have heard that in some of the Chinese restaurants or festivals, that kind of things. Okay, enjoy.
All right, Priscilla Tse and Kenny
Ren.
Ren, thank you very much, on Arhu and Yangqin. Did I say that right, more or less?
Very good, yeah.
On Live and Local.
Thank you.
music on Live and Local here on FM 90.9, performed on two traditional Chinese instruments, the erhu with Kenny Wren and the yangqin or Chinese dulcimer with Priscilla Tse, who is the director of the Chinese Silk and Bamboo Ensemble at the University of Illinois. And they're here partly to promote the concert by the Center for World Music. Robert E. Brown Center for World Music is the full name at the university. Their spring concert is on Friday evening at the Krannert Center. And the Chinese Silk and Bamboo Ensemble, what are there actually silk and bamboo instruments?
This is a very good question. silk actually refers to the string string instruments, actually. So in the past, the strings instruments were made with silk. So they are plucked lute, pipa, and another kind plucked lute, zhongran, and this erhu here, the fiddle. So those strings were made by silk. The Chinese dulcimer, the strings on Chinese dulcimer were not made by silk at all. But these instruments were later included in the Silk and Bamboo Ensemble. So silk means stringed instruments. And bamboo, as you may guess, I guess, can you?
I'm not even going to try. You go right ahead.
Okay,
so tell me.
bamboo means wind instruments. So,
oh, like flute and so on.
Yeah, flute. The flutes in China are mostly made by bamboo.
Still?
Still, yes.
But now the other string instruments do like most Western string instruments and use a metal string.
Yes, you're right.
And somebody told me, I think, that was mostly to get them to sound louder?
Yes, for a larger audience on stage, instead of playing in a private party, private house or garden, that kind of things. So the context changed, and that's why the instruments, the materials for the instruments also changed.
We'll talk a little bit more in just a moment. I want to take a break here because you happen to have come on the show during the spring pledge drive at WILL. And also, I think this is the national week of pledge drive, which happens across the country. And, of course, it's a very important thing for us to do periodically to remind our listeners that all the music that you hear, including these live performances, happen because you support the station. I mean, I'm able to be here for that reason. I'm able to ask these folks to be here for that reason. And Dee Breeding is able to be here for that reason. Dee is with me here in the studio, along with Priscilla and Kenny, to give you some specifics about what we're trying to do this week on the drive. And I will at least give you the telephone number where you can call to make your pledge of financial support. The phone number is area 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL if you're numerically challenged. And, of course, we welcome your pledges online as well, where you may find it a bit easier, which is willpledge.org. Thanks for coming in, Dee.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And as Kevin says, this is our spring pledge drive here at WILL. And the goal of this campaign is to pay for the programs like Live and Local and all the music on which you rely when you tune in. And you might say, why do we have to keep having these pledge drives? A lot of people do support the station just by direct mail or just because it's part of their regular routine of their finances. But as a matter of fact, pledge drives are the best way for us to reach all of our listeners, including those who haven't yet made a donation to WILL. We may, in fact, have quite a few new listeners to this program. Live and Local has been around for about a little over a year now, and it's been a great opportunity of this program to introduce many of our listeners to the performing arts that are going around in all of our listening areas, including Decatur, Danville, Bloomington, all around the place, and Champaign-Urbana. And and performances of a great variety as well. So I think that, you know, I'm hoping that there are lots of listeners who've been discovering this program and tuning in perhaps for the first time and haven't yet taken an opportunity to support the program that they are appreciating. And, you know, your call right now is a very powerful gesture. It means that you're willing to stand up and be counted as the next member in our growing WILL public radio community. So we're looking for new members. In fact, we're looking for 1,000 listeners who are willing to call in this week and become the friends of WILL by making a financial contribution. The number is 217-244-9455. Of course, if you're listening to the radio and you're on your computer, you can always give online. That might be easier for you. That's willpledge.org. Any amount that is comfortable for you, we're hoping that you'll take this opportunity to become a supporter.
Thanks, Dee. And the number again, area 217-244-9455, or online at willpledge.org. And speaking of online, the each of the live and local programs does make it to our website. We don't stream this program live, but we do put it up there usually by the afternoon of the show. Sometimes it takes me an extra couple of days. And that address, where you can find out about all of our programs, is will.illinois.edu. And you can also find the pledge button from that page as well,
I believe. That's right. You just go to the main website, will.illinois.edu. There'll be a nice red button there, and you can click on that make your pledge that way if you'd like to.
And check out the live and local page for some of our archives. Our broadcast today is made possible not only by our listeners, but also by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. And one of the big performance events this week in Champaign-Urbana is going to be the spring concert of the Robert E. Brown Center for World Music at the University of Illinois. Music of North India, China, Japan, Bali, Guinea, Ghana, Zimbabwe, Russia, and Eurasia, which is quite an incredible variety. And it's 4 3/4 hours it's scheduled. I'm not sure why just the 3/4, but that's what it is, from 4 until 8:45 on Friday. And furthermore, admission is free at the Krannert Center. It's part of the Boneyard Arts Festival, which we'll also be hearing more about as the week goes on. We have with us in the studio and live and local Priscilla Tse, who directs the Chinese Silk and Bamboo Ensemble and plays the Chinese dulcimer, the Yang Qin, and also Kenny Wren, who plays the Arhu. The Chinese Silk and Bamboo Ensemble, we talked about where the silk and bamboo terms come from. How long has the ensemble been around?
This is the fourth semester.
And have you been directing it the whole time?
Yes. This is my third year in my PhD program in musicology. But I started this ensemble in fall 2008 as a one-credit class. So anybody at UIUC can register.
Did you have to teach everybody the instruments?
Yes, but I cannot manage all the instruments at the same time. So I have some students helping me to teach the flute, dizi, and also Kenny, who joined this last semester, right? Who has been teaching, helping me to teach the arhu. But
Kenny, you obviously came here knowing how to play this instrument.
Yes.
So you've been playing for how long?
I've been playing this since first grade.
And you're much bigger than first grade right now. So that's quite a while. Are you in a graduate program or undergraduate program?
Oh, I'm a freshman.
You're
here.
A freshman?
Yes.
And you brought another tune, at least.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear another one?
So the next one is also from the Canton, Cantonese-speaking region, called Pinghu Qiu Yue, so Autumn Moon on Still Lake, composed by Lü Wencheng, a very famous Cantonese musician who passed away like almost 20 years ago.
Okay. Heard here on Live and Local, live in our studio on FM 90.9. Thank you. Priscilla Tse and Kenny Wren here on Live and Local, playing the Chinese dulcimer and the Chinese violin, the Yangqin and Erhu, respectively, here on Live and Local. I think I said that, Live and Local, about three times. I'm Kevin Kelly, and coming up, we'll have violinist Joshua Bell with us on the phone from New York in advance of his recital on Thursday at the Krannert Center. Friday at the Krannert Center is the spring concert of the Robert E. Brown Center for World Music. Both Priscilla and Kenny will be participating in that program. Priscilla, the instrument you have looks to me like a newer one, is it? Or not?
You mean a newer model?
Exactly.
Yes, traditionally we have only two bridges here, but now you see three bridges. So it's an expanded version, or what they call reformed version of the traditional Yangqin.
And what's the body of it made out of, the main part of it?
Just wood, yeah.
Any particular kind of wood?
Yes, it's called a wutong wood. I don't know the English translation.
I don't know either.
Yeah, so
I mean, is it part of it is black. Is it just painted black?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not the original color.
And part of it is unfinished, it looks like. Is that all one solid piece?
No, actually, that's a very thin piece of wood on the top. And this one is very fragile. It's like this thin.
She's holding up her fingers, about an eighth of an inch thick, maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Most. So it's like, it's very thin and... after some years, maybe 5, 6, 7 years, this piece of wood may change the shape.
Warp a little bit, just bend and...
Yeah, it will bend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the pegs that the strings are attached to look very much like piano, the pegs you see in a piano.
Yes.
The tuning pegs. Is it basically the same thing, metal?
Yeah, this is made with metal, and I think it's a very similar mechanism. Like the one you can see.
Yeah, from here,
piano.
From here it looks like it. And what are the particular challenges of playing that instrument?
I think accuracy, maybe.
Meaning so, hitting the notes, hitting the strings right with the bamboo hammers.
I think
you said
so.
They're bamboo, right?
Yes, bamboo hammers.
Well, you said there's over 100 strings, so I would think it would be very easy to miss the right one.
Oh yeah, but there are not like 100 notes here. But as you can see, maybe 2, 3, or 4 strings on one course of bridge to make only one pitch. So tuning is a big problem. I need to tune 4 strings
to sound the same.
Yes.
So depending upon which you can hit over one set of bridge. One set of strings or another set of strings, and you get different sound?
Yeah. So you don't really look at the strings when you play. Actually, you look at the bridges. That's easier. Otherwise, it's too confusing.
I bet when you're first playing, you look at the strings. Or not.
I don't remember.
You don't?
But that's what my teacher told me
after
some years learning Yangqin, so... I don't know.
And how long have you been playing?
Quite a while. Over 15 years, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And at what point, how long did it take you before you thought, I'm actually sort of acceptably good? I'm okay.
I didn't really think that way, but I thought, I used to play piano before this instrument. So I thought, okay, this is, you don't need to take care of any pitches on your, with your fingers, like the erhu. So I think this is the easiest Chinese instrument.
Is that why you picked it?
Yes.
You didn't want to work as hard as Kenny has to work, right?
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, and I still think this is the easiest Chinese instrument.
And is the erhu the hardest?
Really?
I don't know. Once you get your hand on it, then things will be better, I guess.
So once you get to a point, then you can advance from there?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you guess would be the hardest one if you don't think this is it, Kenny?
I think Yangqing is hard. Like, there's so many things.
Oh, you're like, giving credit to each other. That's so nice.
How did you start? Why you picked Erhu?
Oh, well, my dad pushed me.
Oh, that's a common story everywhere,
yes.
Isn't it? Yeah, somebody has to push the child to do it. Yeah. Well, we'll come back and hear one more tune from Priscilla and Kenny here on Live and Local, but we want to remind folks that we are in our Spring Pledge Drive, and that means that we do need to get some pledges rolling in here to support this show. It's still a pretty new show. We've been on a little more than a year, since February of 2009. And I certainly hope listeners have enjoyed the incredible variety of music that we bring to you. I mean, it's not everywhere you get to hear traditional Chinese instruments at all, and almost nowhere on the radio. As Priscilla said, you might hear them if you go into a Chinese restaurant, but just as often you'll hear more modern pop music in a Chinese restaurant as anything else, just as anywhere else. So this is sort of an oasis of variety and eclecticism, I think, here, and I certainly enjoy getting to hear these instruments and different kinds of music and bringing them to you. And if you have enjoyed hearing them, then please let us know and support the show with your dollars. The phone number is 217-244-9455, and Dee Breeding can tell you a bit more.
That's right, Kevin. It's fascinating to be in the studio here and being able to see these instruments. And it's a little bit harder, I think, to translate that over the radio. But you can actually go and see this performance on Friday. But it's an opportunity that you aren't going to get anywhere else on the radio, probably, except for Live and Local, to be able to hear these kinds of instruments in this situation. And, you know, you're probably assuming that somebody's paying for this public radio station. And in fact, it's been around for a long time. And that's because we do have a remarkable community of supporters, of individuals who've made decisions to support something that's important to them, namely their public radio station, WYLL. And we call them the Friends of WYLL. And we hope that you will now take the time to make the decision to become a supporter yourself. We're hoping during this Spring Pledge Drive to hear from 1,000 listeners who are willing to just call in and make a gift in any amount. The number is 217-244-9455. You know, the fact is that the costs of maintaining this public radio station continue to go up, and tax-based sources of money stay steady and go down. So your contributions, listeners, 40% of our costs are, in fact, covered by listener support. So it's very important that you do your part. If you like to listen and you want us to continue to be here for you, then you need to do your part. 217-244-9455.
And, of course, you can also pledge online at willpledge.org. Let's have one more tune from Priscilla Tse and Kenny Wren on Yangqin and Erhu, Chinese dulcimer and fiddle, respectively. And what will that be?
This is called the Yuge Wanchang, Fisherman's Song at Dusk, also from Cantonese music repertoire by the same composer, Lü Wancheng.
And we will say thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Priscilla Tse and Kenny Wren, live in our studio here on Live and Local, participating in the Robert E. Brown Center for World Music Spring Concert on Friday from 4 until 8:45 at the Krannert Center. And you heard him live and local here on FM 90.9. My guest for this portion of Live and Local here on FM 90.9 is Joshua Bell, a violinist, of course, and he's going to be at the Krannert Center in Urbana on Thursday at 7:30 with a nicely varied program. And I appreciate your joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You know, you and I have one thing in common that I wanted to ask you about up front, and that is tennis. I have recently gotten into it, and you've been playing tennis for a very long time, and get rather well, I gather.
Well, I used to be pretty okay. Actually, I haven't, in the last 5 years or so, I haven't played as much as I'd like. But when I was 10, sort of age 10 through 12, that was sort of my best time for tennis. And it's a great game. But I also played basketball, of course, coming from Indiana. And then, unfortunately, I took up golf, and that just distracted me, and I never got good at golf, which was very frustrating for me. So I should have stuck to tennis.
But you still play golf?
On occasion. But it takes so many hours to play a game that I'm going to start playing tennis again.
Well, it's something I've certainly enjoyed, and the reason I asked about it partly was that it seems indicative, just the fact that you do that, and I know you're a video game fanatic of sorts, and you play so many different kinds of music, and it seems to demonstrate a major multifaceted aspect of you as a person and also as a musician. And
well, I like a challenge, that's for sure. I think that's something that's probably what first drew me to the violin when I was four. It was the challenging aspect. You know, I think at that age, the artistic side of it doesn't really come into play that much at that age. But I loved puzzles, and the challenge of the violin is really a puzzle that I'm still trying to figure out, of course. So when it comes to sports, and I go through phases from golf to bowling, to billiards, and then different kinds of music. You know, each is its own challenge, and so I really respond to new challenges, I think.
Do you really think of that these things have happened in phases, musically speaking?
Well, I go through phases when it comes to, you know, extracurricular things, and I guess in music too. You know, I'll go through a phase where I just, you know, think a lot and play a lot of Schumann or Schubert or you know, for a while I really got into trying to get inside a little bit the heads of some of the bluegrass players that I knew. I was introduced to bluegrass music through Edgar Meyer, the great double bass player who does show up on my new album, naturally. You know, then I went through a phase where I loved Latin music. I even took some salsa dancing lessons, you know, just because I really enjoyed that music, and in fact, I play with the Cuban band on the At Home with Friends album as well. So that's the idea of the album, was really to bring together a lot of those phases and a lot of the friends I've made along the way in the last 20 years or so, and brought them all together onto one CD.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that CD a little bit, because it's a wonderful concept, and I was reading your. The CD again is called At Home with Friends, as you mentioned, and this is your most recent, right?
Yes, yeah, it just came out in the fall, and then we did a PBS Live from Lincoln Center special in January, where many of the people came from the album, Sting and Chris Bodie and Nathan Gunn, the great singer who resides in your town there.
Yes, he does.
And he's one of the great voices on the planet, really, and I was so privileged to have him on my record.
Well, I enjoyed reading your introduction to the CD, where you sort of give the idea behind it, which it's called At Home with Friends. I gather it wasn't actually recorded at home, but
no,
it could well have been.
Well, yeah, I mean, at home, I guess you might look at the word at home, can have a couple of meetings to be at home with friends. But the idea really was to sort of at least recreate the sort of musical soiree idea, and that's something I do have in my home. I enjoy sort of house parties, music parties, where I'll invite various friends and we'll get up and play for a selection of guests, either just for fun or for charity sometimes. So I enjoy that, mixing together in a very kind of casual way people from different musical worlds. At home, I'll even, you know, I'll have some comedy duo come up or anything, anybody who's around and wants to get up. So it's really a lot of fun. So the album was sort of like that, although we did go into a studio and did it, you know, we wanted to record it in the right way, so it sounded good. But I was really happy with the concept and with the way the album turned out.
Well, I like two aspects of the story you tell in the notes. Is first of all, the sort of the origin in your own family of the idea of the soiree, and then the creation of a room for this kind of thing in your home in New York.
That's true. Yeah, I did grow up. We used to call them musicales, and mostly around the holidays, when extended family would come over, everybody played something, and really each of us would get up and play sometimes together or play whatever we're working on at the moment. Sometimes my parents would have to you know, cajole us kids into getting up and playing, but my association with it is actually a very joyous one, so that I've sort of continued that now, and I wanted to do this in my home. And when I built my new apartment in New York, which I got renovated, took about 3 years, part of the idea was to have a large open space in the loft space where I could have these house concerts. And actually, this May issue of Architectural Digest actually features my loft and the ideas that came into play. But so I was kind of proud of that, since I spent 3.5 years of laboring over the place. But it was with the idea of having concerts in the home, and I've done it many times already, and it's so much fun.
And how much of the music room, the visiting room, however you want to call it, was your design?
Well, I mean, really, I worked with a very good architect, and we worked together really on every detail. And I'm sort of a control freak, hands-on type of person. So pretty much every detail was decided, you know, by me, and a lot of the ideas were sort of the vision I had for the place. And I have my library that it's sort of modern place, but it also has some elements that feel old. A wood library with the autographs on the wall of all my heroes, going back several hundred years, that I have autographs from Paganini to Max Bruch, Ravel, and all these people. And many of these autographs use autograph pictures mostly and little musical quotes. Many of them actually used to hang on the wall of my teacher, Joseph Gingold. And when he died, I inherited a couple, and I bought a lot of them at auctions, and so that I could kind of keep them together and have them on my wall when I practice.
And how many of the boards in the room did you nail yourself?
How many what? Sorry.
How many of the boards in your room did you nail yourself?
How many boards? That would be a big old zero. When I say I built it, I don't mean actually. No, I'm not that hands-on, I guess.
Well, I mean, you just never know. I mean, how far of a control freak are you really?
No, yeah, you're right. I didn't do that aspect of it, but
not quite that far.
I supervise every little corner, which is fun because to live in a space that you really every corner of the place is something that you thought about and made happen. It's really a dream of mine. But it's something I think I will probably only do once in my lifetime, because it's also a pain.
Yeah, well, I imagine. I wanted to play something from this CD. I think this is a wonderful concept and the just absolutely splendid music making of so many different kinds of music, which I do want to ask you about. I wanted to play one of the cuts here that actually is one of two folks that get double bill on your CD. One is Edgar Meyer, and the other is this tango group with a bandoneon player. I don't want to say his name wrong. Can you say it for me?
Karel Kraaienhoff is his name, and he's Dutch. And I happened to see him when I was in Amsterdam. He was playing a concert of Piazzolla. I always liked Piazzolla, and I just thought he was just really inhabited the music. And I got to know him a little bit and invited him on, and we did quite a popular song of Piazzolla, but one that we arranged for this group called Oblivion, and I think it's amazingly sensual music.
Absolutely, and Piazzolla having quite a resurgence in the last number of years. And well, let's listen to it. This is Oblivion by Astor Piazzolla. Joshua Bell is my guest, and of course the violinist here, Karel Kraaienhoff, the bandoneon player, a sort of an accordion, Vanessa Perez piano, David Fink bass, and Pablo Riepi is the percussionist, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music by Astor Piazzolla called Oblivion, with Joshua Bell violin, Karel Kraaienhoff bandoneon, Vanessa Perez piano, David Fink acoustic bass, and Pablo Riepi percussion, from Joshua Bell's CD called At Home with Friends. Joshua Bell will be back with us in just a moment, and he'll be at the Krannert Center in Urbana for a recital on Thursday evening at 7:30. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and with me now is Dee Breeding, who is here to talk to you about the fact that this is Pledge Week at WILL, and we need your contributions. We have some goals in mind, but most particular of those is, if you haven't supported the show, call and let us know that you like it. Let us know that it means something to you financially, and put your dollars on the line. The number is 217-244-9455.
That's right, Kevin. This is our Spring Pledge Drive, and WILL, as you know, is a public radio station. We're a nonprofit, not-for-profit, and part of our mission, or a large part of our mission, is to educate and inspire and entertain you. But public radio has a lot of the same expenses that privately owned commercial radio stations do, obviously, electricity, equipment. We have to pay our staff members to run the station. And in fact, right now it costs about $275 for 1 hour of broadcasting at WILL Radio. And we pay for that not by selling lots of minutes of commercials every hour, but we rely on our listeners to help pay those bills. 40% of our bills are paid by our listeners. So please call right now, 217-244-9455, and do what you can to help pay for the public radio station that you appreciate and listen to.
There's so many different kinds of music on this particular CD. When you go from one style to another, as you obviously did in these recording sessions, is there anything mentally you do to adapt, musically speaking, or even physically for that matter, playing the instrument?
You know, it's something that just happens very naturally. It's sort of like when you speak several languages, if you're fluent in several languages, you just somehow the brain manages to separate them, and you just don't even have to think about it. And I think if you immerse yourself enough in these worlds where it becomes second nature, it's not that difficult. Actually, as a classical musician, that's really what we do anyway. I mean, on the program I'm doing with Sam Haywood, when we come to Urbana, we're going to jump from Mozart to Beethoven, to Ravel. I think I'll do some Tchaikovsky. I mean, these are all completely different worlds. They're related, of course, but they're different mindsets, different way of expressing and even different way of physically playing the instrument. So it just sort of happens.
When you do your recital, such as the one you're bringing to the Krannert Center with the program you just described, how do you ever mix in these other kinds of things? Like I'll Take Manhattan is one of the songs on your CD, yeah. and there's so many other styles here.
Yes.
Do you ever do joint projects like that?
Hamlish. Sometimes. Certainly, you know, I would love to bring along some guests, you know, like Marvin Hamlish or Sting or Josh Groban or whatever. That's I was hoping, actually, when I was in Illinois to get Nathan Gunn to come up and do a track. Unfortunately, a song on the show, but he's out of town, unfortunately. So that couldn't happen this time. I'll do Gershwin's song, or in the case of the Ravel Sonata, which I'm doing on the program, it's built in because Ravel and the slow movement of the Ravel sonata comes from another world, as he calls it blues. I mean, and it comes from the world of blues and jazz, very much influenced by Gershwin. So many composers integrate other kinds of music, folk music, or in this case, jazz with Ravel. So this crossover idea, which has become almost a term, almost a derogatory term in some ways these days, it's this mixing of genres has been around for hundreds of years.
Well, you turned the crossover idea into a real art form, because a number of your recent CDs have been sort of that kind, the things you've done with Edgar Meyer and some other colleagues of his, and this latest CD and some others as well, where you turn yourself into the vocalist. There was one recently that you did.
Voice of the Violin.
Yeah, which is just a wonderful concept album. And I applaud you for it, and I really enjoy hearing these. And it seems like I asked earlier whether you felt that you were doing phases musically, and it seems like the virtuosic phase in recordings is maybe a thing of the past for you, or at least a recent past.
Well, I don't know about that. I still enjoy playing the virtuoso repertoire. I love the violin. The repertoire that was written by violinists for the instrument. There's just nothing like Wieniawski or Sarasate, which I will play on the program in Illinois, which is a showpiece by the great violinist Sarasate from end of the 19th century. Fritz Kreisler, etc. But I did some of those albums early on, and I'll probably come back and do another Kreisler album at some point, and because I actually feel like a lot of recitals these days are missing some of that old-fashioned virtuoso repertoire. I think it's great that we're much more, in the last 50 years, we've been much more conscious to play, you know, the great music, the great sonatas of Brahms and Beethoven, etc. But sometimes we forget to play some of this great just bonbons, you might call them. And I still love them, and my teacher, Gingold, loved them, taught me to respect them and not treat them like they're second-rate music. And if you do that, then they will become great music. But if you treat them like they're schlock, or you know, then they will sound cheap. So anyway, that's my little rant.
Well, I was thinking particularly of the CD, you know, of the recorded. Recording projects you've done lately, but it's a wonderful, wonderfully varied program you're bringing to the Krannert Center on Thursday, and showpieces and otherwise. And this is a wonderful CD that I've enjoyed very much at home with friends. Joshua Bell has been my guest in this portion of Live and Local. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Well, it's nice talking with you, and I can't wait to come to the Krannert. It's one of the, you know, really great halls in the country, so definitely been looking forward to playing there again.
Well, it'll be great to see you, and let's go out with what's the last cut on this CD we've mentioned. I mentioned the tune already. I think it's a wonderful rendition. I'll Take Manhattan, Richard Rodgers. Joshua Bell's a violinist. The pianist is Marvin Hamlish. And enjoy here on Live and Local.